In the garden with Keane's Garden Centre Kilcolgan for the best selection of trees and shrubs in the west of Ireland. See keanesgardencentre.ie.
That must mean we are joined once again by the one and the only Tom Stewart from Keane's Garden Centre in Kilcolgan. Tom, a very good morning to you.
Very good morning to you, Alan.
Thanks very much for joining us, and plenty to get through already, the questions coming in for you, Tom, and that's because they want your fantastic advice. But, you know, there's also the little carrot of 230 euro vouchers for Keane's Garden Centre for two lucky listeners as well. So if you have a question you'd like me to put to Tom on gardening, send it in to 086 1800 964. But before all that, you want to give them some fantastic free advice on planting up a hanging basket to last all summer and helping our Clare gardeners to get the basics right at the start, and in terms of selecting some plants as well.
Brilliant, yeah, thanks very much, Alan. So hanging baskets, as we know, and containers, they're an excellent way to brighten up the front or back of a house, and you can put your own stamp on it with your own favourite plants and your own colour combinations. And I think it's nice to maybe try a different combination of colours or even a different combination of plants each year, just to keep it interesting. Maybe to start with, you might have a look at your basket that you have. Is it time to have a look, and is it time to buy a new one? Sometimes we're guilty of reusing a tired basket that is well past its best. There's lots of really nice hanging baskets to be had with different shapes, colours and different material and different designs, many of which look really well even before your plants start to fill out. Some baskets will come with a liner already. Just make sure there are holes for drainage if there's a plastic insert already there. If you need to add a new liner to your basket, you can add an additional layer of plastic just to help retain some water, but piercing some holes so it doesn't become waterlogged. Perhaps even a piece of plastic from a compost bag cut to size is a nice handy option. And then maybe check your basket chains. Are they in need of replacement? If so, you can get new chains if the old ones have rusted or if they're damaged. Check that the chains suit the size of your baskets. Most baskets are measured either 12, 14, 16 or 18 inch. Likewise, if you're getting new basket liners, just make sure you know the size you need, and the same applies. If you're getting a hanging basket bracket or replacing an old one, make sure you get the correct size and then you're good to get started. So one of the core ingredients is a good quality compost, and that makes a really big difference when you're planting up your basket. I like to use the seaweed-enriched multi-purpose compost, and a handy tip is maybe to add some water-retaining gel to the compost, which releases water back into the compost as it dries out. This, along with some perlite for aeration and drainage, and perhaps some slow-release fertilizer, will be the perfect mix for growing your basket plants. Then next comes the fun part, that is choosing your plant selection and your colour scheme. And there's lots to choose from. Typically, you might want something high in the middle with some trailing plants at the edge and some plants to fill the space in between, what we call trillers, fillers and spillers. So the typical plants that are available for baskets are plants that will flower all summer, well into the autumn, if they're looked after. The main thing to keep in mind is that you water them frequently, not allowing them to dry out. Feed with a liquid feed like tomato feed or Nutri-1, and deadhead any faded flowers as necessary. A few plants with a bit of height to consider for the middle of your basket are geraniums, and they're in reds, whites and shades of pink. Perhaps a regal pelargonium, which are tolerant to a bit of partial shade and available in similar colours to the geraniums, with lovely showy flowers. And then there's a New Guinea Busy Lizzie, which are happy in sun or shade. They flower for ages and have large flowers in various shades of lilac, red, pink and orange. These are somewhat traditional centrepieces, but don't be afraid to try something different. An upright fuchsia perhaps, or a non-stop begonia, are all very well worth considering. Then for the edge of the basket, to trail over the side, again, there's loads to choose from. Trailing petunias are probably amongst the most popular. It's hard to beat the likes of the hot pink petunia or the purple petunias, with loads of other colours and varieties to choose from as well. There's also trailing bacopa, bidens, trailing geraniums, diasca, trailing lobelias, calabricoas, verbenas, nasturtiums. Or another one to consider is the wet weather tolerant pechoa, which is a cross between petunias and calabricoas. And you can choose to go for a riot of mixed colours or blocks of complementary colours, all one colour, even your county colours. Just go with your heart, whatever you're drawn towards or whatever you think would look good. If you pinch back some of the growth on the petunias, you'll have nice bushy compact growth. Pinch them back by a couple of inches. Then for filling in between, upright bedding plants are ideal. So be it the upright petunias, pansies, begonias, or busy lizzies. Again, there's loads to choose from to fill the gap between the centrepiece and the trailing plants at the edge. You want your basket nice and full without being overcrowded. As a general rule of thumb, when planting your basket, it's to use maybe one plant per inch or a little bit less, one for an inch and a half of basket diameter. So maybe 12 plants in a 12-inch hanging basket, or one per 2 inches of a basket if you have some larger plants like geraniums or fuchsia. So maybe a 12-inch basket might hold 7 to 12 plants depending on your combination or your mix. Then setting up your basket, maybe if you position it up on an old pot or a bucket, it's a handy way to keep it stable as you plant it up, and wait until you hang it up before giving it a good sup of water, just to make lifting it a little bit easier. Then there's lots of alternative baskets to consider. Last week we spoke of a few salad and herb hanging baskets, the strawberries in a hanging basket. You could do tomatoes, a wildlife friendly basket with plants that provide food for bees and pollinating insects. You could do a shade loving basket with hostas and ferns, contemporary arrangements with colourful grasses and ivy. So there's lots to consider. And if you do a basket every year, maybe perhaps think of an alternative mix to go to what you've done in the past. And if you've never done one before, definitely it's well worth giving it a go. It's easier than you think, and you'll get to take great pride in your creation. So that's hanging baskets for summer colour.
Okay, some brilliant advice there, Tom. And before you dish out some more sage advice in terms of our listeners' questions that are coming in, you've a few jobs drawn up for them for the coming week.
Yeah, certainly. As spring is kicking off and we're having an improvement in the weather, a little bit mixed, but it's somewhat of improvement. There's lots of vegetable and salad plants there available, and they're all ready to plant now. Huge selection of edible plants and seeds. You can, if you've planted any seed potatoes, you can earth up any seed potatoes that you have planted. This protects them from any late frost that might come along, and it blocks the sunlight getting into the tuber and gives the spuds a bit more room to grow. If you have any seed potatoes to plant, get them in the ground as soon as you can. Summer flowering bulbs are a great option for pots and containers or in the ground. So they'll give you summer colour all summer long, and they're great for displays during the summer. So summer flowering bulbs. Watch out for slug and snail damage to any emerging shoots of perennial flowers or any seedlings you might have. Perhaps apply some of the organic slug pellets or spray with grazers for slugs and snails as a eco-friendly preventative. You could also apply some liquid moss treatment onto your lawn and follow it up with some granulated feed and weed, and maybe a little shake of lawn seed just to improve and thicken up the lawn for the season ahead. And then for the bank holiday weekend, we have a fantastic offer on some multi-purpose compost, 3 bags for a tenner. So it's great value just to kickstart the bank holiday weekend coming up.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Let's get to the listeners' questions. First one comes from an anonymous listener, but a good question nonetheless. It says, good morning, Tom and Alan. Have you any tips on how I can keep deer from eating my shrubs? Thanks for all the tips every week.
Very good morning. Yeah, so deer can be a bit of a nuisance. The company I mentioned earlier, who does an eco-friendly product for slugs and snails, they also do a product that will help deter deer. And the same product does deer and geese and hares, if memory serves me right. But it's a company called Grazers. And it's a concentrated liquid that you would dilute and spray onto the plants that might be vulnerable or prone to being attacked. It doesn't harm the deer or any other wildlife or the plant itself. So it's a really good eco-friendly one to use. You'll probably have to use it over the space of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks on a regular basis. But Grazers for deer, if you look out for that product, it's well worth trying.
Okay, we'll move on to our next question, which comes from Morning Focus listener Maggie, who's listening to the show in Ina. Good morning, Maggie. She says, top of the morning, Alan and Tom. Tom, how do you get rid of alderweed from spreading? I have tried digging it out, but it still comes back. Help.
Yeah, good morning to you, Maggie. And that ground alder, it's a sickener. It's a very invasive weed, and sometimes digging it, unfortunately, it can actually propagate it and increase its stock, but it's a very invasive weed and it's a real sickener. Probably a systemic weed killer is your best course of action. Obviously, the usual stuff, use it with great care and attention and follow the instructions on the packet, but some kind of systemic weed killer, SBK or something like that, to or any tough weed killer that might, it might even list ground elder on it, or nettles and brambles and stuff. There's plenty of them out there. Use it with great care. Mind it doesn't, the drift doesn't go on to neighbouring plants or affect any other plants in the vicinity. But a ground elder, yeah, it's invasive, and I probably recommend not trying to dig it up, because I think you end up propagating it a bit more, and it comes back in abundance. So it's a systemic weed killer, and probably it'll need more than one application to see the back of it. But if you stick to it, you should see it. It'll certainly reduce it a hell of a lot, Maggie.
Okay, there you go, Maggie. Tess Hallinan is up next with a question. Tess is listening to the show in Ennis and says, good morning, Alan and Tom. Great show. How can I get rid of cats digging up my flower bed? I've a net put all around, but still the cats still visit. Many, many thanks.
Good morning to you, Tess. And yet, it can be a bloody nuisance. Usually, I think you were on the right line there with your netting. Just have a little look, Tess, at how the netting is set up. You might want to put it up onto short little bamboo canes or sticks or something, so it's held above the ground and it just makes it awkward for them. Now, I know it can be a bit of a nuisance to try and get it right and to try and keep it that way, and it can be in your own way then, but have a look and see, is there a particular area where they're getting in or something like that. There are plenty of products like Scent Off, and they're usually kind of very strongly citrus based products that are used to deter them. Now, the area needs to be cleaned of any fouling first, and then you apply these products and again, probably a few applications will be needed to deter them. So definitely cleaning any fouling in the area first, and then applying the likes of the Scent Off and stuff like that. Other people will try like orange peelings and citrus fruits and chopped up lemons and all that in the area. That can only help. So the likes of that and the Scent Off products. But from what I've read on those products, they always highly recommend that the area is cleaned of any fouling first, so that there's no trace of scent or smell. And the only smell the cats would get are these strong citrus scented products, which they don't have any time for, so they usually go somewhere else. And I think using that in conjunction with netting to make it a place not worth visiting is a good combination. But clearing away any fouling first and then applying the products, Tess, hopefully you might see the back of them.
Okay, Sean in Kilshanny is up next, and Sean is asking, hi Tom and Alan, I'm hoping to plant some herbs like parsley, fennel and chives in a container. Any advice to help me?
Good morning to you, Sean. Yeah, and a great question. Yeah, so, and I always recommend to people growing some herbs, particularly the ones that you like and that you want to use yourself, grow them somewhere close to the back door, somewhere close to the house, that it's going to be convenient and easy for you to use. If they're a bit far down, you mightn't be as likely to take a wander down to the back of the garden. But if you have them somewhere in a nice container close to the back door, I always think it's a good way to have them. I'd select a nice large container. Herbs are like particularly good drainage, so a large container, a good quality multi-purpose compost, maybe some stones and gravel in the bottom of the pot just to prevent the holes getting clogged with compost, and then mixing some maybe horticultural grit and some perlite through your compost mix, and then planting, as you said, the proper ones that you mentioned there, the likes of parsley is always good, and thyme, a bit of fennel, lots of other ones to choose. If you want to grow some mint, maybe keep mint all in one container. It can take over a pot or container, so it's a bit of an invasive one, so mint maybe in a container by itself. And you can have different varieties of mint all into one container. But your other ones that you suggested, Sean, good quality compost and plenty of really, really good drainage. And after that, you should see good results.
Okay, Marion Doombeg says, hi, Alan and Tom. My question for Tom is, I'm starting to use raised beds for my shrubs this year. And is it okay to put my roses into the raised beds? Will they thrive in them? Also, what should I line the beds with? Thank you.
Good morning to you, Mary. Yeah, just when you mentioned roses in raised beds, yeah, there's no reason why they wouldn't do well. Lots of people like to go for like to use raised beds. It's there's a lot less digging and backache involved. Sometimes as well, you might have reduced pest problem as well. Plus, by their very nature that they're raised, means you're not bending down and it's not as difficult to work with. But by all means, your roses would do quite well. You could Do you like a nice rich combination? So good quality compost, maybe dig in some bags of farmyard manure and a small bit of rose feed after you've done planted and firmed in quite well. So definitely making sure they're firmed in and a good sup of water. Then if you wanted to line them with something on the inside, you could use something like a Mypex or a weed block fabric. It just might prevent any excess soil or compost slipping through the timbers or whatever product you have used to raise the bed itself. So lining it with a weed block fabric usually works well, Mary. And then after that, yeah, the world is your oyster. You can plant plenty of things, roses included.
Okay, Anne in Ennis says, hi Tom, is it better to sow turnip seed out in the garden rather than starting them inside?
Good morning to you, Anne. I think so. I think a lot of root vegetables will be happier sowing them where you want them to grow. So prepare the soil well, dig it over so it's a nice easy transition for them, but you're nearly better off sowing them where you want them to grow, sow them thinly. If you were to start them off in a seed tray or something like that and then you have to take them out and then transplant them, root crops don't like that disturbance, so you're better off having sowing them where you want them to grow, and I think you'll have better results. You might need to thin them out a little bit as the seedlings come up if they're a bit too close, but that's not a big deal. But I think sowing them into a nicely prepared seed bed outside, you're good to go then, Anne.
Okay, that is it for this week, but congratulations to Sean in Kilshanny and to Maggie and Ina. You have each won yourself a €30 voucher for Kane's Garden Centre in Kilcolgan. And once again, it is just time left to me to say thank you very, very much on behalf of all the gardeners of Clare, Tom, for joining us this morning. And we'll chat to you again next Monday.